So here we are, celebrating Trinity Sunday. As I thought about this major feast in the church's calendar, it occurred to me how often clergy avoid talking about this core idea in our faith. After all, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we have to admit the doctrine of the Trinity, and in fact the creeds of the church, are to various degrees incomprehensible, even off-putting. Or worse, their central place in our worship every Sunday has become a stumbling block for many, many people. But think of it this way, if you will. 1,600 years ago, when the church sat down and put together its creed, primarily the Nicene over those series of centuries, it was generally assumed that heaven was a place, and a place up in the sky. That heaven was literally hanging above us in the clouds. Beneath our feet, if we went down far enough, we'd find hell. And that is what is called a three-tiered universe. And it was the way that people understand the world they were living in. So whenever they talked about God, we talked about God being above. And so they and we talked of Jesus ascending to God into heaven, descending down into hell to free the captive sinners. All of this three-tiered universe, is pretty much outdated now. I suspect most of us here today have a vague suspicion that heaven is not hanging above us in the clouds. Maybe you think of it as some sort of other dimension. Maybe you think of it as another mode of existence. Maybe you don't think about it much at all. However, few and fewer people nowadays think it's up there, in outer space, if you will, or hell, a couple miles down. Like the Russian cosmonauts of the 60s, we have glimpsed the outer regions of space, and we know that God is no more there than God is apparent here on the face of our planet. What this means, of course, I think, is that we're being called to come up with new ways of thinking about God. And that's not to say we abandon the old ways as well. But it does mean we need to take a good, hard look at those ways and ask whether or not they still make sense to the average person. Now, lest you think I'm falling into the deep and dangerous waters of heresy, let me assure you, there are any number of Orthodox Christians, ancient and modern, who would agree with that statement. For instance, in the 5th century, St. Augustine was walking along a beach. He was with a student, and they were talking about the mystery of the Trinity. The two of them saw a small child on the shore, and the child was taking a water cup and filling it up and then pouring it into a hole that she had dug in the sand by the sea. "Child," Augustine called out, "what are you doing?" "I'm pouring the ocean into this hole," the child replied. To which Augustine promptly turned to his companion and said, "That's what it's like for us, trying to understand the Trinity. It's like trying to pour the entire ocean into a small hole." When it comes to the doctrine of the Trinity, I think it's fair to admit that, rationally speaking, the church is simply on shaky ground. We pour our oceans of doctrines and theologies, our constructs of the nature of God, into holes that are too small for the expanse of our cumulative thoughts of the nature of God and who God might be. Yet, from the beginnings of the church, alongside our rational doctrinal approach to the Trinity, there's been another one, an approach that's more poetic and mystical in the strain of Trinitarian theology. Playfully, it was expressed by St. Basil of the 4th century, when he said, "Perhaps when speaking of the Trinity, it would be better if a priest just mumbled." Or, more seriously, he wrote, "The reality of the Godhead, so to speak, in the persons of the Trinity is intrinsically relational. God is a kind of continuous, indivisible community, bound together in love." What a marvelous way of hearing of the Trinity. This relational, as opposed to rational or doctrinal understanding, this Trinity takes cue from an ancient understanding of God, one which says ultimately God is revealed in relationships. There we find a vision of God as Trinity, lover, beloved, and active loving, lover, father, beloved Son, act of loving Holy Spirit. From Basil to the Celts, from Hildegard to Desmond Tutu, we hear of the Trinity as primarily a community that is bound together in love, one that comes with diversity within itself and gives birth to creation, a creation that reflects that same diversity. Playfully, Meister Eckhart put it this way, and I love it. "Do you want to know what goes on at the core of the Trinity? I will tell you. In the core of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Spirit. And the whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us." Or as a contemporary theologian and physicist Margaret Wheatley says, "The world we live in is relationship. Relationship is revealed at the very structure of reality. Relationship is at the very nature of God. Everything is made up of relationships. We live in a web of relationships. Everywhere we look, we see complex, tangled, messy relationships. Atoms do not exist unless they're found in relationship to other atoms. Quarks, like a trinity of persons, are always found indivisibly bound together in relationships of three. In science, we have moved more and more from thinking in terms of an object to thinking in terms of relationship. In our understanding of God and of ourselves and creation, we are moving in exactly the same way," she concludes. And for me, the beauty of this poetic, mystical approach to the Trinity is that it places more emphasis on its bonding nature, on love within the nature of God. For if relationship is at the core of the nature of God, love is more than a feeling. Love is more than an ethical demand. Love is the capacity which gives birth to relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit give and receive from one another in an unceasing circle, an unending dance of love. And for us, who have been created in the image of God, love becomes not so much of a personal choice or a right thing to do. Love becomes the only way we can become what we were created to be as children of God. That's what it is when we go out from this place into the world. Every time we leave here,